This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
Hey guys, welcome to the Hero Academy podcast, the place where you can celebrate and highlight our frontline heroes, people such as nurses, firemen, EMS, police officers, and military are all heroes without capes. I don't care about politics, only positivity and purpose. I only care about those that have chosen to serve our society. I believe in collaboration over competition. Here, you'll learn the secrets and strategies that let ordinary people become extraordinary inside of their purpose. Sometimes we'll throw in some simple side hustles that everyday regular people are doing, things that you could do to make some extra money, especially if you're starting to think about retirement and what's next. Inside this podcast, each week you'll learn from people like you that were working full time but still found the time to create a course, grow a big team, create a coaching program, a large audience, or a profitable side hustle. The steps they took, their backstories, and how they overcame their burnout that they were facing. The perfect blend of mindset and techniques. Carpe diem. Now let's get your dream lit for your freedom. I'm your host and coach, Super Dave. Let's go. All right. So yep. Tina, Miss Triple F in the house. So I was just watching one of your YouTube videos. I think it was some Channel 6 news. How many news stations have you been on?
It's been a few. The last couple months, really busy. I was on, the Kelly Clarkson show. Then I was on a local channel here, 39. It's WSFL 39. Was on NBC. Was on Fox News. Was pretty big. That went national.
Like that's the Kelly. One. That's the one that I found you through. That's how I found you, because I was sitting at work and it said something about female firefighter creates these plushies, and I was like, oh, I got to click on that. And then I searched you out and found you, and then I was like, oh, she's really cool. So that's how we landed here.
Yep. It's great to meet you, man. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. So how let's take everybody through this process of where the idea came from and like your career. Take us back 20 plus years.
No, yeah, I've been on the department since 1999. And you know, being a female in the fire service is pretty different than being a male. You get questioned a lot. Little kids come up to you, you know, people don't see a lot of female firefighters. They don't think that women can do the job, or they just don't really think about it, right? So throughout my career, even to this day, I still get asked, are you really a firefighter? Or I didn't, you know, kids will say, I didn't know girls could be firefighters. So I was like, how am I going to combat this and show that women can really do anything? Not, you know, this job is not for everybody, obviously. But the people who do want to do the job and train for the job can get the job, you know? So I just decided to make a plush doll. I said, let me start them little. You know, if I let little kids see that women can do anything and even be a firefighter, they'll stop asking women on the fire service, you know, on the job, are you really a firefighter? They'll stop questioning and it'll be a normal thing. So I just want it to be normal, just like it is with guys in the fire service.
Our kids love plushies. They love plushies.
So that's why I created the female firefighter plush doll, so that little girls, you know, can see, as you can see behind me, there's them. They can see, you know, that girls can do this job. You know, this is Ember. She's got her jacket off, but she comes fully clothed in firefighter gear. It's the only dolls in the world. That's why I also decided to make it, because I didn't see anything. And there isn't a lot of female firefighter items out there for little girls to see, or even for women. I just spoke to a woman the other day, just a friend of a friend, and she's like, oh, I always thought about being a firefighter, but I didn't know I could do it. And she's in her late 30s. And I'm like, you've never seen a girl firefighter? And she's like, no, I didn't really even think I could do the job. And I'm like, and she's fit. She's a fitness instructor. I'm like, you can absolutely do the job. And now she's actually thinking about it, getting hired, and she's almost 40. So the oldest guy in my class, I had two older guys in my class, and they were 47 and 45, and they got hired. They passed fire college. We all went to fire college together. They're retired now, but you know, I mean, age is a number too. If you're still fit, you can do the job. You know, you get hired and you pass fire college, you're in.
I've heard
So
that the PT portion of Fire Academy is harder than the Police Academy.
I don't know because I haven't been to the police academy, but I mean it is pretty rigorous.
You have to
You know.
carry that. You have to carry that 150-pound doll,
But you know,
mannequin.
we don't carry. None of the guys do
Not
it. None of the girls.
carry. Drag. Do you have to drag it?
Drag. Yeah. You would drag. You're going to drag some, even another firefighter. You're not going to pick them up, throw them over your shoulder, and walk out. Now, if you can, you will, right? Some people can do that. It just depends on the person carrying and the person that you're carrying. So it just depends on the dynamics and what's going on in that scene. But for the most part, you know, we drag things out of a fire or people. We don't necessarily throw them over our shoulder and take them out.
So what was when you got hired in 1999, what was the requirement? I'm just curious.
Well, we took the well, you had to be a US citizen and you had to be 18. That
No,
was basically
just the PT portion. What was the
you
requirement?
had to pass it. You did a PAT test. It's a physical agility test back then. So it was the test where you had to drag the dummy, you know, 180 pounds or something like that. So many feet. I can't even remember, it was long ago, but then you had to take a hose pack over your shoulder. Now these are people that know nothing about firefighting. I didn't know anything about firefighting.
Right.
I was taking a PAT test to get in. So you had to obviously work out and be in shape and stuff. So you had to throw the hose pack over your shoulder, go up six flights of stairs, drop it, and then lean over into the windowsill, which the windowsill is pretty high. It was more than 42 inches high. So if you're a short person, it was super hard for anybody, you know, under 5'5" to really get it done because it was, you had to lean over and pull this hose pack up in the window. It's like a donut. Then you had to pick up the hose pack again, go down the stairs, do a Kaiser, hit that Kaiser. You had to pull a hose, drag a charged hose to a certain amount of feet, and then the dummy pull. So, you know, wasn't an easy test for sure.
So there was four parts to the PD test. It was a run, so there was no run involved, but there was running involved, but for you guys there was no run. Like you just had to run back and forth a little bit, right?
Not really. It's not really, you know, you guys have to, you know, chase the bad guys, whatever. We don't have to do that. We just have to, you know, be physically fit to be able to carry the tools, get people out of a fire, you know, and do stuff like that. But we didn't have any running. You do running in the academy once you're hired, or you're going to the fire academy, they make you run there. So we do all our running there, but to get in, to get hired, there's no running involved. It's just the PAT test, which is a standard national test that, you know, a lot of departments, which is now it's the CPAT. It's called the
Okay.
CPAT. Made it a little different. Shorter, you're not going, you know, you're walking a lot of this test, the PAT test. So you're
Wow.
burning time. So in the CPAT, you're not walking a lot. You're just going from one thing to the other, and you don't, it's all in one little room that you're
Were
doing
you
it in.
a high school or like college athlete at all?
I did. I played softball, I played soccer. You know, things like that. I did even bowling just to get out of school. So, but yeah, I've always been an athlete. So obviously that helps in the fire service, but you don't have to
Nice.
be an athlete. You
Okay.
know, have
All
to
right.
be physically fit to do the job.
Now, since your time joining, have you seen an increase in the number of female firefighters that have joined? Like, have you seen the number, or is it still like abysmally low?
I would say it's, I've seen women, more women getting on, but the numbers really haven't changed because people retire. So when the women are, because I've seen a lot of women retire, but if they're not replaced, you know, you're not moving up in percentage. So it's still, you know, around 8% of all firefighters in the United States are women. So it's still not that high, but I do see a lot more women. You know, there's women camps, fire camps out there. I have a lot of friends that do the fire camps. You know, I'm trying to get the word out with the dolls so that little girls will know right when they grow up and they have this firefighter doll, they're like, oh, I could do this. And that's been the response with them. So, there's a lot of people doing things to change that, to let, little girls know they can be firefighters.
What do they
So,
do at those female firefighter camps?
those camps are just basically empowerment camps. They do a lot of firefighter stuff. They don't go into fires necessarily, but they do wear all the gear. They play with ladders. They learn how to handle the ladders. They charge the hose. They, shoot the water out. Have to carry the hose. They do a lot of running, kind of like, a mini, I guess, fire college. It's like
When
a
you
day,
said
sometimes a day.
when you said that they don't have to fight any fires, I was immediately thinking, oh, that sounds pretty cool, except for ha like you made me think I want to be a volunteer maybe when I retire, but I don't want to fight any fires.
Yeah, I mean, obviously for reasons that they're not trained, they don't really go into fires. They might like put a fire in the middle and let them shoot water at it, like pallets or something, but it's not, they're not going to be close to it. So just every camp's different, and every camp, if they're run for a, from a fire department, then they're a lot more cautious. But because departments have to be careful for their reputation and liability and all that stuff because they're using their equipment. So it's an empowerment camp that shows girls that they can do this job, and it whether they go out and do it, a lot of them do get hired and become firefighters, but some of them, it's just an empowerment thing. They feel like, well, if I can do this, I can do anything. And then they go off to do great things in their life,
That's really cool. Have you given speeches on this, or is it more like you've just, like, how did you get into the PR? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, with Triple F, Triple F means Fierce Female Firefighters. It was started by a colleague of mine back in 2013. And she created the first two logos that we have. But she started a group page just to support, have a support network for female firefighters. So I took it over in about 2016, around there. And then that's when I started the business side of it. But to this day, we have over 7,200 female firefighters from 58 different countries. So,
Wow.
and we're in this one group, and it's just a really good place to, and we have all ranks, fire chief to firefighter, driver, whatever, all the positions. And we just, it's a good place for us to go and talk about women issues in the fire service, or something as simple as what kind of bra do you wear in the fire, into a fire? What do you guys feel comfortable with? Stuff like that that, our brothers can't really answer, but
Right.
it's, a more in-depth of how women train, because we train differently, because obviously we're built differently. So we have to learn to do things differently than the men to be able to sometimes get other things done, because our strength is not just our arms like most men, it's the whole body. So we train differently, and you get a lot of tips from all the girls. So it's a really good networking place for us to go. And we do meetups and we do trainings together sometimes, but it's more of like a sisterhood where, you can go and talk to somebody and you can meet somebody all over the world if you needed to. And that's really how the business of Triple F was formed, is through the group page. They love the logos. I have three different logos. Well, I have five different logos, but they love the logos. So I just started putting on t-shirts and decals because there's really not much out in the world for female firefighters. Guys like getting, t-shirts with fire on it and yada yada, but there's little statues of firefighters and they're all men. And the
Yep.
girls are, well, we're firefighters too. What about us? So there's more stuff out there now than there has been since I've been a firefighter, but literally I think I'm the only female firefighter company dedicated to just female firefighters, and
That's really
shirts,
cool.
decals and challenge coins and all this stuff. So that's where I, and then I just got the dolls and I put my logos on the dolls so that kids can play with them,
Why do you have five logos? That when you said that, I was like, that sounds like
Yes.
confusing.
So each logo, like I have three dolls which are behind me. They're Ash, Ember, and Molly. And each of those dolls, like this is Ember, right? And Ember has her own logo, which is looks like her. So it's hard to
Okay.
see on. But she's got dark hair and a little bit of darker skin, and that's the Ember logo. And then Ash is the blonde girl. She has her own logo with blonde hair. and light skin. And then Molly is my African American doll, and she's got her own logo as an African American girl firefighter. So those are the logos I have. I'll have a wildland firefighter logo. I have an EMS logo. So I'm going to be doing that and putting those on other dolls as well.
It's really cool.
A logo to match that specific doll or that specific job, basically.
Are you gonna do this full time and retire from fire service at some, 'cause I know you have the time to do it.
That is the plan. I can retire in 6 months. And I do want to, have the dolls into stores. And yeah, exactly. It's been a long career. It goes pretty quick. The old guys used to tell me when I first got on, you're gonna have 20 years before you know it. And I'm like, yeah, right. It's a long time from now. And it does, it goes quick. But so I have 25 in June. So we'll see. I mean, that's the plan. I want to, and I really want to concentrate on just kind of educating kids about the fire service and all first, about first responders, letting them know that they can do this job and give them dolls to play with.
That's
Because
really
there's really
cool.
nothing out there.
I love that you created this company.
Little gear, bunker coat, So the bunker coat comes with the logo on it. She comes with an axe, little axe that has female firefighters on it. And then gloves. She's got little gloves that they can play with and take off. And it comes with like a hood that we wear in the fire service, so it's a really interactive doll that, kids can play with. The suspenders come down like real firefighters, come down. They have pockets that actually work, and we can see that. But,
What
she's, of course, the hair they can play with.
how do you buy them right
So you
now?
get them on my website, which is firefighterdolls.com.
Okay.
And, I ship them out all over the world.
Has anybody in I was going to say China, but any other country has they tried to not make knockoffs yet?
Not yet, but I've had my logo stolen many, many times to put on t-shirts or hoodies. They do that all like almost daily. So I constantly have to delete them, block them, report them, and all that stuff. But it's hard to, I have it trademarked everywhere, so and copyrighted, so people, legally can't do it, but I just send my lawyer and tell him to take care of it.
Cease and
So
desist letter. Yep.
yeah.
So, I heard you mention the first female firefighter in the US.
Yeah, so Molly, I'll show you Molly. This is Molly. And Molly is named after Molly Williams, who was the first known female firefighter in the United States back in 1815. Molly Williams worked for Oceanus, which is now basically FDNY in New York. So I named my African American doll after Molly.
I did not know that little fact until you said 1815, you said.
15. Yeah, and you can Google her and actually see a picture of her in uniform. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty
I have to
cool.
find maybe her family one day and give them the doll and just tell them I dedicated this doll to her. Back then, obviously I don't need to mention it, but 1815, African Americans were slaves back then, unfortunately. So,
Yeah.
I even felt it was more important to, show that even a woman back then, she was forced to be a firefighter, but she had the job, she had the uniform, and she put out fires by herself. So, because they didn't have necessarily crews back then. They did, but everybody went, I don't even think they had trucks back then. They had those pull trucks,
Now
with the tank.
you said it was Oceanus that became the FDNY.
Yes. Yeah, it was at Oceanus was in New York. So it
So
was
she
in New
probably
York.
wouldn't have been for, because slavery was only in the South. It wasn't in the North.
Yeah, that's a good question. All right, I'd have to do more research on that.
Yeah, I was gonna say she probably wasn't
No,
forced.
that
Maybe that
slavery
was the
was
only
still
work.
happening.
It was probably the only work she could get.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of information about her out there. There's just some. So it's
I gotta
really
look.
hard, dig up stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I would love to meet her ancestors and give them a doll and say, here, this is in honor of Molly Williams. That would be
That's
really
really
cool.
cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
I want to get one for my granddaughter.
Yeah, the kids are loving them. I've gotten a lot of feedback. I was at some trade show. I don't remember what it was for, and a bunch of kids were there. And I had this mom come up to me. I was wearing my uniform, my bunker gear, selling the dolls. And she comes up to me with her little daughter in a stroller, and her daughter is just playing with, I don't know what she was doing in her stroller, but she kind of left her to the side, and she was probably like 4 or 5. And she comes up to me. She goes, "I got to tell you something. I got to tell you the story." And I'm like, "Okay." And she goes, "I love what you're doing. I love these dolls, and I'm going to tell you why." She goes, "My daughter came up to me one day, and she goes, 'Mom, mommy, whatever, mommy, I want to be a boy.'" And she looked at her like, "What do you mean you want to be a boy? Like, where is this going?" And she goes, "Well, I want to be a firefighter, and to be a firefighter, you have to be a boy. So I want to be a boy," because she wanted to be a firefighter that bad. You know, 4 or 5, she didn't understand anything, but at 4 or 5, she wanted to be a firefighter, and she literally thought you have to be a boy to be a firefighter. So when I went up to her and she saw that I was a girl and I showed her my doll that was a girl, she just lit up. Like, I saw her mind just working. Like, she's like, "You mean I can be myself and be a firefighter?" So she was just overjoyed, and her mom, of course, got her a doll, and it was just, it like broke my heart. I had to literally like, stand back for a minute and just take that in, because I was just so happy that this doll can do that for a little girl.
What's
And keep
what age group are they good for?
3 and up. I mean, I have adults by them. So
No.
yeah, 3 years and up, but it's only because there's very small parts, like the glove. They're like kind of choking hazards, but I do have pictures of people who bought them for their baby that can't even walk or talk. They just roll around, and you see them hugging the doll. So they've gotten them for little kids too, under 3, but you just have to be careful of the parts. Don't give them the little parts. Always watch them, when they're that young, with anything really. But
Your
yeah.
next product, do you know already know what it's going to be?
Yes, I do.
Is it top secret? So
I wouldn't
are we
say
going to see
top secret.
it on Shark Tank?
I actually tried to go to a Shark Tank audition last week, and it didn't pan out. So I'm waiting for them, and it was in Vegas, but I was doing another show, so I couldn't be in two places at one time. But as soon as they come out with more auditions somewhere else, I'm there. I don't care where it is, I'm gonna go. But
So Mr.
I would
Wonderful
say,
always says, what's to stop a big box company from creating something similar and just crushing you?
oh, I already have copyright on my doll, so they can't make anything that's close to what my doll looks like. So it's already copyrighted, trademarked. I mean, but nobody else can really copy it. They can
And
try.
they also don't have your backstory either.
Yeah, they don't have the backstory. They don't have my logos that match the dolls, all that kind of stuff. So it's a very unique item, a unique doll. There's nothing else like it on the market. So I'm really excited about it to get into stores. I'm actually going to pitch Walmart here this next week.
Hey, congratulations. I hope you get it.
I'm just going to send them an email. I have a contact that's going to send the buyer an email, and hopefully they get like it and want to see a sample, and we go from there. So once you see it, I mean, it's hard not to like it. It's a really cool doll. I'm so proud of it, and it really looks like a real firefighter. But my next one will be either, I would love to do all of them at once, but it's hard to. I want to do a police officer, and I want to do an EMS doll.
Okay.
So we'll see which one comes first. I don't know yet, but those are on my to-do list.
I think you gotta do the police officer next because there's way more. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't say there's way more because there might be a lot of female paramedics out there. I've seen a lot of EMS and rescue women.
Yeah.
Sometimes the whole crew is all women.
Yep. I mean, I've been lucky enough to have a crew of all women a handful of times on a rescue, not on a fire truck. And a fire truck only happened once,
Right.
all women. And that was the best day of my life, I think, in my career. It was just so much fun just working with all girls on the truck, and there was no drama, and it was just smooth. We all did our job, and the looks you get when it's an all-female crew, people are like, really? Like they can't wrap their brain around it, but it's just so much fun. It was a blast to be in the station with all girls, and we had a great time. It's just different, because you're used to working with all guys. So when you work with all women, you're like, this is super cool. So, but
Now, what's your current rank and like your role with your department, your agency?
I'm a lieutenant. I'm a lieutenant. I've been a lieutenant, 17 years, something like that, 18 years.
That's a long time.
Been an officer for a while. Right
Yeah.
now, I'm currently off the trucks.
I know you
And
had
I'm
a
glad.
little, you had a small, we'll call it a small health challenge.
Yeah, I had a little health challenge back in 2018. I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
But the year before that, I had bid. We have bid system in our department. So once you get seniority, you can pretty much bid and get something that you really want. So I bid a fire inspector spot, and then a year later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it kind of worked out. Never had to go on light duty. I could work still, go do my job, and get a paycheck. So that was kind of nice, because if not, I would have been on light duty, and that nobody likes light duty.
Nope,
So,
nobody does.
but I did beat cancer. Thank God, I beat breast cancer. I've been 5 years cancer free now. Thank God. And that's why I also started a foundation in 2020. I started a foundation called the Triple F Foundation, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit charity. We have a board of six women, and we help other firefighters that are battling cancer and on the job injuries. So a portion of the doll proceeds goes to this foundation. So every time, a doll is bought, you're actually helping a firefighter that's battling cancer or on the job injuries. So
That's
it's, yeah. I've loved being able to help other firefighters. I just literally sent a check yesterday to a firefighter who was injured on the job, and she can't work. And, so it's a good feeling to be able to give back to other firefighters, because I know I struggled. I had a lot of help. My union helped me and everything like that, but it was still a struggle. I still went without money, without a paycheck, and it was tough. Cancer is expensive. Injuries are expensive. So I was able to start this foundation, and it's great. I just love giving back. So
Now, the insurance, they only cover you for so long and they only cover so much. Is that how it works?
yeah, I mean, well, cancer is a little bit different, as there's different like medicines and techniques that you can do to help get you through the process of cancer, going through the chemo and the radiation and stuff. So they don't pay for that kind of stuff, and that stuff is expensive. Helps you like the burns, like getting radiation. There's this cream that you can buy that's super expensive. It's like, $300, $400. And it's cream that you can put on your skin to help not burn as much when you're getting radiation. So little things like that that help you get through the process. I wore for chemo, I wore a cold cap to save my hair, so I wasn't bald like you. For women, we love our hair, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? So it's very traumatic. So I got a cold cap. That's expensive too. So I mean, all that stuff's on your own money, on your own dime, to help me get through that. So little things like that, that I struggled with, but I mean, I did it,
Now you're gonna become a multi-millionaire. God willing.
from your mouth to God's ears. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I just, it's not even really about the money. It's really about seeing these kids' faces when they see this doll. They're like, really? Like they can't believe it. They're so happy. I have parents that email me and say, my kids cannot stop talking about your dolls. I have to buy one now, because they can't stop talking about them. Because they saw me at a show somewhere and they happened to not buy it at that time for whatever reason. And they end up buying it later because they're like, my kids can't stop talking about the doll. So they get them the doll. So it's really cool to see that impact on little girls. And I have little boys playing with the dolls too, like moms that are firefighters. They'll give them to their sons that are, under seven, whatever, so they can cuddle them at night when mom's gone on the shift. And same thing with the guys. So, if they have little girls, this is a good daddy doll, because it looks like the daughter, but it also looks like daddy. And it's something daddy can give to them and say, here, hug the doll while daddy's gone at work or mommy's gone at work. And when you miss me, hug it. And then when I get back, you can hug me. So it's something they can leave at home for the parents while we're gone 24, 48 hours.
I know
So.
a 12-year-old boy who would like one, but I feel conflicted. Is that too old to be playing with dolls when you hit 12?
I mean, it's not something that they're going to do the rest of their life. You know what I mean? So I don't see anything wrong with it. When they're kids, they like to
Yeah,
play. It's a
let them be kids,
firefighter.
right? That's what I say.
Yeah, let them be kids. It's a firefighter. It's a doll. Who cares if it's a boy or girl? Girls don't have any problems playing with boy dolls. So I don't think it should be any different with the boy playing with the girl dolls. But that's, how I feel. But I do find a lot of people don't want to do that for whatever reason. And that's just a society pressure, I think. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's not
Yeah.
like anything's gonna happen. I play with boy dolls, so I don't know, what that changes, but
So
it's
eligible for retirement 6 months. Man, that's got to be a great feeling.
it is, it is.
Do you think you're definitely going to put in your paperwork when that time comes?
It's
Or
leaning that way.
you'll evaluate when you get there.
I mean, I'm evaluating until I get there to make sure. It really depends on what happens with these dolls. I do need to find a financial backer for the dolls so I can make more dolls, and make the police and the EMS and stuff like that. So I am looking for somebody to financially back that part of the business.
Have you reached out to any venture capitalists?
I haven't yet. I'm this close to doing it. Just getting everything together. Like, I'm gonna try to pitch Walmart, see what happens with that, and then go from there.
Well,
So,
good luck with that one. That's a huge, it's the biggest player.
I'm on Walmart Marketplace. I'm just getting on there now, so just accepting to that. So it'll be on there. But I sell them on Amazon all the time. I just sold like two yesterday, actually. But most of them sell on my website.
I'm just gonna hit you with my last five questions for you, rapid
Last five.
fire. Yeah, my last five. Five's my lucky number, so that's why I chose five. What's your definition of a hero?
That's a great question. I think somebody who helps other people, so really anybody can be a hero. If you're helping other people, you're a hero to that person at the time.
I agree. When stress is starting to get high and you need to save yourself, how do you show yourself love? How do you save yourself? What do you do nowadays to decrease your stress?
Lately, there's been a lot of stress. I think spending time with friends, people that you love. I mean, right now, honestly, I lost my last family member. So literally, I don't have family anymore. So I am more dependent on my best friends, who are my chosen family. So really, spending time with family or loved ones is really a stress, and traveling, of course. Traveling always de-stresses me.
I read a book called The Happiness Hypothesis, and in that book, he talks about going someplace that makes you feel small. So, like being at the bottom of a massive mountain or at the top of the Grand Canyon, and it kind of has an effect of making your problems smaller and kind of like minimizing whatever it is that you're going through. I'm sorry for the loss of your
Thank you.
family member. Would you ever consider coaching one-on-one if someone wanted to learn how to create a product like you? Because we didn't talk about how you had a mentor. That's what I wanted to, I just
Okay.
reminded myself. You had a
So yeah,
mentor.
so how do you make a product? When I came up with the dolls, I'm like, I barely played with dolls when I was a kid. I don't know how to make them. I'm like, where do I start? So I was just thinking, like, what am I going to do? So I watched Shark Tank a lot.
Me
to
too.
get ideas, listen to business deals, stuff like that, just to learn things and see different products and listen to their stories. And I saw this one guy named Mensch. He was Mensch on the Bench was his product. It was just a plush doll. It's a Jewish plush doll. So I basically cold contacted him and say, I'm a firefighter. I'm not a, not a crazy person. I'm cold called. He doesn't know who I am. I'm just contacting the guy and I say, I'm a firefighter. I want to make female firefighter plush dolls. So how do I get that done? Wait 2 seconds here. Just lost it. There we go. So I told him, I called him and I said, hey, I need a mentor. I go, would you mentor me? And he's like, yeah, sure. Let me get through the holidays. And, because I think it was like November of 2020. And he's like, yeah, let me get through the holidays and we'll talk, after the holidays. So literally like January 1st, 2nd, maybe, I'm contacting him saying, all right, can we talk? And he goes, yeah, let's get, he gave me his number. So we talked. And he basically gave me all his contacts to how to make a doll, the prototype person. So you need a prototype person to make the doll. You need somebody to make you the box, the packaging it comes in, and then you need a factory that'll make them. And there's hundreds of factories. And I didn't know. I thought I could get it done in the United States, but little did I know there are no factories in the United States that make plush dolls. So everybody makes them overseas. So he gave me a guy that he uses that knows all the factories. He's like the third part, the middleman, and he knows all the factories. He's been working with them for 40 years, so he knows who to trust. So I contacted him, and he's the one that got me a sample of the doll, how I wanted it, and everything. Well, the prototype person is who made this first sample, right? So I called the prototype person, and she works for Mattel, all these big companies. She's done My Little Pony, all this stuff that she's done. So I'm like, well, I'm working with, the best in the business. So she made my prototype. And then I got the box done as well through another lady who is associated with him, and she made me the box. So
How
the
much
box
were
is really
you
cool.
all in? What was your all in investment?
Well, I did two rounds of the doll because I actually changed the box. I didn't like the first box color that I got. It was a little too dark. I mean, it was fine, but not to put on a shelf. So my intention was to put these on the shelves of stores. So I redid the packaging and made another, I did like 4,000 dolls the first time and 4,000 the next time, which is a small amount. These factories were only doing like 100,000 at a time. So
Wow.
they really did me a favor by doing 4,000, because I mean, I had to pull money out of everywhere, out of my house, out of my retirement, all my savings, my family chipped in a little bit. So yeah, I over 100K for sure.
Oh my goodness, over a
I mean,
hundred K.
it was a ton of money.
Yeah. So, when you do go on Shark Tank, you got to know all of your numbers cold. Like boom, boom, boom. This is how much it cost me to make it. You've watched it enough times. This is my
I have.
retail price. And
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking too, pitching to somebody, that's a billionaire. So,
yes.
but yeah, I have to get all that done. All the numbers, I'm just finishing them up now. So I'm hoping to have them very shortly and start pitching it to try and get a financial backer for this so I can start making new dolls and get the dolls that I have out.
And then you got to
So
make them at least chuckle a little bit, so it's got to be a little humorous. It's almost like a ad. It's like an ad on steroids, basically. And then you got to have the additional product ready to go after you get the boost of the show.
yeah, I still have dolls in stock, so from the last 4,000 basically. So I still have a good amount. I have a few thousand dolls, so I'm going to be hitting specialty stores right now to try and sell them to specialty stores just to offload them to try and get some of my money back so that I can make more dolls and new dolls. Because it's just it'll be endless. I can go to military. I mean, it's just going to be all first responders.
I'm so
So
excited.
it's
I'm excited. I'm
Thank
excited for you.
you.
What's your best strength today? What's your best ability?
I would say never giving up. Never giving up.
Persistence and resiliency.
Yeah.
And just for fun, if you had a comic book superpower, what would it be and why?
Ooh. Well, I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan. So, I've always loved her growing up, loved the movies, which is could be why I'm a firefighter. I don't even know.
Do you know the backstory behind Wonder Woman and her creator?
The backstory. No, I don't think I do. Do you
I
know
am
it?
going to send you a. So it was it's created by this doctor. His name is Dr. Marston. And he actually created the polygraph. And that's why her lasso is the lasso of truth. So like it's based in a little bit of science. Because he created the polygraph, and you know the how the polygraph goes around the waist, and there's a blood pressure cuff, so her lasso makes people tell the truth. Yeah, I'm gonna send you. I think it's still on Amazon Prime. I sent it over to someone else who said that they were a big Wonder Woman fan, and also a woman, and she didn't know it's a wild story, so I don't want to ruin anything for you, but his personal life is a wild story. And they almost shut it down because they felt that she was dressed too skimpy for, I guess, the 50s maybe, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I want this doll to go is, animation is something that
Yeah.
would be really cool because I do have animated version of the dolls, and I would love to get a movie company or, Disney or somebody to pick that up and make a show about female firefighters. I think it would be kind of cool.
Disney or Nickelodeon, either would be a really good avenue for you, or just make it yourself through YouTube. But it's better if someone else pays you for it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you get somebody big and I had which is funny, I don't think I brought this up to you before, but I literally had a production company contact me. It was in October, August of last year. August, saying that they wanted to do a female firefighter reality TV show and they wanted to use me and to help me find some girls for them to use. So I had gathered all these girls from my department and one from another apartment, and we started doing an interview. We were on our second interview with the production company to start getting this done, and that's when the strike happened.
Oh,
So the writer strike happened, and the two producers that I was working with, one of them got laid off, and the other one said we have to kibosh this for now. So who knows if it's going to happen again? But that would have been pretty cool too.
fingers crossed. You have big things in your future, and I love it. I'm so appreciative of you hopping on the podcast and
Thank you for having me,
all the work that you do. Thank you for your many years of service. I love to give people their roses while they're still alive, and you deserve all of them. Thank you so much. Keep up the
thank
good
you. Yeah, having me on here.
keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks,
It's
bud.
no
Appreciate it.
problem. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, family. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Everyone I interview, I've chosen for you guys because of their story, and I hope that you get some value every single time. If you did get value or just simply enjoyed the episode, please share the episode with someone that you know. If you know of a guest, a frontline hero that has an amazing story, something uplifting or a positive message, hit me up in the contact form of www.davidleith.com or DM me at Instagram at DavidLeith, the number one. Subscribe to the show because I have some really phenomenal guests coming up in the next few weeks that you definitely don't want to miss. All right, one.